for sharing that story with us. Can't sing, I can quilt. What abilities do you have that God wants to use? This morning I want to talk to you about what is likely the last in this series of My Life, God's Canvas. The reinforcement that my life belongs to God, my body belongs to God, my wealth belongs to God, my abilities are from God and for God's glory. There are four passages in the New Testament that talk about this area of our gifts. I want to talk with you briefly about those this morning and then give you a couple suggestions for going away from this room using your gifts for God and His glory. Why don't you open your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 4. If you need a Bible, there's one in front of you. You're going to look at page 182. It's the second 182 near the end of the Bible. The Bible's broken up into two sections, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Bibles in the pew there are numbered by New Testament and then by Old Testament and then New Testament. So it's the second, page 182. 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm going to read a couple of verses here that come from this passage. I'll begin at verse 7, but you read along while I read out loud. All right? The end of all things is near, including the end of this service. I thought you'd say amen. Therefore, be of sound judgment, sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God belongs the glory. Now He gives gifts to all people. I'm going to give you five principles that come out of this text. And you could look at a few other texts too. You want to know where the other places are? Okay, that's what I want to hear. All right. 1 Peter 4 is the first one. Ephesians 4 is the second one. 1 Corinthians 12 is another one. And Romans 12 is the last one. Those are four major sections in which the subject of spiritual gifts is talked about. Two chapter 12s, Romans and 1 Corinthians. Two chapter 4s, Ephesians and 1 Peter. Okay? Now, the gifts are given with a special purpose in mind, and I want to give you five principles that will help us today. Number one, right out of our text, spiritual gifts are given to every believer. Spiritual gifts are given to every believer. You see this in verse 10, 1 Peter chapter 4, it simply says, as each one has received a special gift. At the moment that you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, God gives to you a spiritual gift. Now, we should describe what a gift is. A spiritual gift is a divine enablement for spiritual service to others. Want to say it with me? A divine enablement for spiritual service to others. In other words, a God-given ability to serve other people within the body of Christ, a spiritual gift. How many people have them? Everyone who knows Christ has a spiritual gift. If we were to had a chance to look at these other passages, Romans chapter 12 says, God has allotted to each person a measure of faith. And since we all have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let's exercise our gifts accordingly. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 says, but to each one is given the manifestation of grace for the common good. All right, everybody has a gift. You may not know what yours is. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. In fact, if you were to study all these four sections, there's a list of gifts in there. When Peter talks about it, he only talks about two kinds. Did you catch it? Verses 10 and 11. Actually, it's verse 11. Two kinds of gifts. A speaking gift and a serving gift. Now, this is one of the ways the Bible organizes the gifts or categorizes them. It just falls into two categories. Some people have a gift to speak, and in a variety of different capacities, through speaking, they minister a spiritual gift. Others, through a variety of capacities, minister to the body of Christ by serving. And that's all it says. But you have a gift in some capacity. We're going to talk about what that is in a minute. Number two. Second principle. Spiritual gifts are expressions of God's multifaceted grace. You know, ever seen somebody driving in the car with a little prism-like glass ball from the rearview mirror? And the sun shines on it. You can see it sort of reflect the sun in a different ways. And the sun comes in and makes all these. It's kind of like a disco ball, right? Now you're tracking with me. You've seen the disco ball. Well, that's kind of what it means here, is that God gives gifts in a multifaceted way. The way I would describe it comes right out of verse 10. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The NIV says, the grace of God in all its forms. And we just say that God gives his gifts to people in different ways. We're all different. We're wired different. We have different personalities. And he gives gifts to us in the way that he knows best, and he gives them out. So if you look at someone and say, man, I could never quilt, that's okay. I could never preach, that's okay. God has given you an ability that the rest of us will benefit from. And if we all were preachers, oh man, who would listen? That's right. If we were all servers, who would lead? I mean, if we're all, you know, we're different on purpose. Number three, third principle, spiritual gifts are for the benefit of others. Spiritual gifts are for the benefit of others. 1 Peter 4:10, employ it in serving one another. 1 Corinthians 12:7, gifts are given for the common good. For the benefit of others. So I have a gift, and I give my gift to you on Sunday mornings, and I prepare for this gift throughout the week, but I preach on Sunday morning for your good. And when I get in the pulpit, thinking to myself, how can I make you know how great God is, that you will love him more and follow him? The purpose of my life is to preach the gospel and the word of God to you, that you will love God more and be strengthened in your faith to follow him, whatever happens tomorrow. You have a spiritual gift that when you exercise reciprocally, I am benefited by. You may say, well, what gift do you do that benefits the pastor? I don't know yet. We're going to have to talk about that in a minute. I don't know what it is, but unless you are doing it, I'm a lesser pastor. You have a responsibility to me. Right? Am I right? The benefits of the gifts is for the common good. Mine for you, you for me. Let me show it to you. It comes out of Romans. Paul was saying, I'm going to the Roman church. He said this way, he said, I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, that you may be established, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine. I long to be with you that I may impart some spiritual gift to you. That's really, I think what Paul is saying is that I may use my gift, and through my gift I may bring some blessing to you, and that I may be encouraged together when I'm with you, you to me. In other words, the gifting of the Holy Spirit to the body of Christ, that you know Christ, he gave you a gift, but he gave it to you for the benefit of the rest of us. That we will be stronger. What is designed is, as you serve God with your giftedness, we are encouraged to follow the Lord. So even if you think about this gift that Carol Nickel created, a quilt, what was it about her that makes you say, I could do that? It wasn't that she had skill on the sewing machine, because you probably can't do that. But she was moved by the Spirit, and she said, God wants me to do this, I'm going to do it. And suddenly say, okay, well, God may move me, and I'm going to do it for the benefit of others. Number four, spiritual gifts flow out of love. They flow out of love. The section here starts with verse, really, 7 and 8. 8 says, keep fervent in your love for one another above all else, because love covers a multitude of sins. Hey, we all sin. We all need the forgiveness of God. We love each other. We serve each other. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. The gifting of the body is in the context of relationships. And I love that the Bible acknowledges that there will always be conflict within the body of Christ. There's always going to be issues that we have to come up against, right? We're going to rub each other the wrong way. We're going to have tensions. But we love each other. We're different. We say, that's okay. I love you. I forgive you. Let's move on. Let's serve one another. Let's get strong in the Lord. Now, the best way I'd describe this is just to give you some examples that periodically I get to see, because I'm the pastor. I hear about things. And I hear about the way the love of the body is exercised. Now, in this whole area of spiritual gifts, can I say to you, it's less important that you can say the name of your gift than it is that you develop an attitude of willingness to serve other people. There's a couple in our church that I heard about that needed dental work, extensive dental work. Somebody in the body of Christ said, I'm going to take care of that. Took them to the dentist, got partial dentures for them, totally fitted them out. Motivated by, flows out of love. They have a need, I have a gift. Another couple in our church took a man who'd been attending Calvary for a year or so. Took him out to a restaurant for his birthday, and over dinner gave him a card and handed him the card. He opened the card, he read it, and he started to cry. He said, I'm 43 years old. I've never had a birthday party, and no one's ever given me a card. Here? In our community? Is that possible? One of our members sent me an email some time ago. He said, I have a heart for helping people with special needs. I've always looked for ways to help those in financial need, whether it's getting groceries when they're in a pinch or helping them with a utility bill, if they're behind on a car payment or need a car repair. I like to help people when they have unexpected needs and do it secretly. How can I help? He wants me to get him in contact with people in need. See me after the service. What is that? It's a desire to give. It's a giving gift, looking for a mechanism. 2 weeks ago, a guy in our church came to me after the service and said, I want to help this guy who needs his mortgage paid. He lost his job, and he may lose his house. I want to help him. Who do I talk to here at church to help with that? Lest you think you have to have a lot to serve others, two of our guys who have been coming to Calvary for quite a while live at the shelter and come each week. Are involved in Men of Action, a ministry that sends men of our church out to the homes of single women and widows, and they repair things around the house for these women. These guys come here once a month, go with other guys into the homes of some of our single moms, serving. You don't need a lot to give a lot. In the last 2 weeks, I heard from two families, one who decided we're not going to get the bigger house. We made a decision not to get a bigger house. And someone else said, we decided not to get a second house. You say, well, big deal. Well, it's all relative, isn't it? They have a lot, but it was a spiritual decision. You know what it was? That we will be able to use our resources for the kingdom of God the way God wants us to. That's a spiritual decision. I teach you each week from the pulpit, and when I speak to you, my prayer is that my gift will result in your spiritual growth. That's partially dependent upon me, it's partially dependent on you, and it's extremely dependent upon the Holy Spirit.
But your giving of your gifts helps me spiritually, that I may be strengthened in the Lord to know that the people of my church are so committed to Christ that they give of their spiritual gifting to God and to others in the body of Christ. Nothing encourages me more to know that the body of Christ serves with joy. So I give you these and say, man, this excites my heart. Conversely, of course, nothing discourages the pastor and the staff more than to say, man, we have all these spots. We don't know what to do. We don't know how to fill these spots. Man, that's discouraging. So when the body steps up and say, I know God's gifted me, I'm giving, the first thing I want you to know is that your service in gifting comes out of, first, your love. One other place you can see this is in 1 Corinthians. Three chapters talk about spiritual gifts, 12, 13, 14. 12 and 14, Paul's addressing problems in the Corinthians' understanding of gifts. What comes between 12 and 14? 13. What's 1 Corinthians 13? Chapter about love. Love is the motivation for gifts. We serve because we love. Lastly, last principle. Let me give it to you here. Number 5. Spiritual gifts faithfully exercised glorify God. So this passage, right in the middle, verse 11, ends in this doxology. To whom be glorified through Jesus Christ. May God be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and honor and dominion forever and ever. Amen. To God be glory. God is glorified when we use our gifts for Him. Sounds a lot like, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven by what you do. Now let me give you a couple takeaways. Lessons learned here in the spiritual gifting as the canvas is sort of complete. Isn't that great? You see that? The picture's done. Yeah. Okay, this is another person with a gift who every week at the end waited for everybody to go home and then would sneak in here, take the canvas home, and do a little more. And for the last 5 or 6 weeks, I hope if you see her, you'll just thank... You'll thank Laura Prill for putting that together. And she did a sweet job and just did it selflessly each week. And I don't know if you can see the words at the top of it, but it just says, all. All. My life, my body, my wealth, my gifts, my all for God. My life is the canvas on which God is creating something beautiful for His glory. To Him be glory forever. Let me give you 2 takeaways. Number 1. Don't worry so much about identifying what your specific gift is. As much as you worry about finding an avenue to express love and service to others. Don't worry so much about being able to say, my gift is the gift of mercy. Don't be able to worry about naming it as finding an avenue through which to express love and service. Because as you do that, God will identify for you as you're going what you're good at and what you should do a lot of. You're probably already doing it. Maybe in other ways, but God wants to channel it for the blessing of other people. Is quilting, for example, a spiritual gift? Well, actually, quilting itself is a talent and may not necessarily be thought of as a spiritual gift, but seeing someone in need and wanting to express mercy to them through my ability of quilting, that's where the spiritual clicks in. Fixing computers. A spiritual ability? Well, it can be used for God, can it? We have a group of people here at Calvary who collect computers, gather them together, fix them up, speed them up, and then give them to people in need. The elderly, the Lost Boys of Sudan are all decked out with computers. Other people in need, why? Because a group of men from Calvary said we could use our computer skills for God. The computer skill may not be the spiritual gift, but seeing the need of other people and then finding the avenue to send it out, that's where it is. Hey, we got a group of guys every year who fix bikes. Spiritual gift? Not really. But seeing a neighborhood of kids who don't have much and gathering all the guys of Calvary together and say, will you bring a bike, get as many bikes as you can. We're meeting over in that neighborhood. We're fixing bikes for kids on a Saturday morning. Spiritual vehicle to give my ability for God and His glory. You may be a project manager at your company. You may be an events planner. You may be really good at bringing people together and organizing them. But you don't have any way to make a link between that and Calvary Bible Church and serving God. I want to tell you, you need to be a site leader for ShareFest this year. Our pastor Adrian's taking a church in Erie on April 16th, and he needs help. We need a few people who are really good at organization to say, I'm wired this way, I'll do it for God and His kingdom. Then, an ability that God gives creates a vehicle. But don't worry so much about what it is as finding the vehicle. Number two. Ooh, this is a big one. Each one has received a gift. Each one will give an account. Each one will be rewarded according to what we've done. I'll give it to you again. Each one has a gift. Each one will give an account. Each one will be rewarded according to what you've done. I say this to you because I want you to pay close attention. I love this church. And I love, you know, when we come together, it's easy to sit in church and kind of feel like it's nice here. I'm kind of anonymous. I'm protected. You can come and, man, you can come and get away with doing nothing. But the day is coming when you will give an account before God for what you do. And then we won't be standing next to you. I won't be near you. Neither will your mother, your father, your brother, your sister. It will be you and God answering to Him what you've done with what you have. You give an account. Listen to this verse. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one of us may give an account for the things we have done in our body, whether they be good or bad. Wow, let that sink in. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to give an account for our lives, for what we've done, whether it be good or bad. And you know what? When Jesus told a parable of the talents, he said, well done. You've done well with your five talents. I'm going to give you 10 more. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. I do not think that Jesus Christ is going to say that to every person who goes to heaven. I don't think just because you're going to heaven means you're going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Because not all God's people are. We don't all carry out what we have. That's a scary thought, isn't it? If you want to test out my hypothesis there, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where it talks about gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, coming through the fire, some just barely making it through the fire. I think there's going to be some of us standing before God saying, I made it. I'm glad to be here. And if you say to yourself, well, I'll be happy to just sit in the back in heaven. I'll just be happy to have a shack in heaven. You know what? Do you have a shack now? Are you happy with a shack now? I predict that if you are not happy with a shack now, you will not be happy with a shack in heaven. And that's why God says, lay up treasures in heaven. Lay it up by what you do with your life now. One more place to look at is in Revelation. Revelation chapter 19, the scriptures just say, hallelujah, for the Lord our God reigns. Let's rejoice, let's give glory to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. And it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen. And the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. In other words, at the marriage of the Lamb, where the people of God are gathered together, we will be dressed with the garments of what we have done in this life. That's amazing. You lay up treasure in heaven. You're going to want something to wear when you get to the marriage of the Lamb. You get in by the righteousness of Christ, but you wear the righteous acts of what you do in this life. And so what are you going to do? One, each has a gift. Each will give an account. Each will be rewarded. So we say, God, my life is yours. My life is yours. Let me close with this. About 7 or 8 years ago, Diane Sawyer interviewed Billy Graham. She interviewed Billy Graham, and near the end of the interview, she asked him this question: how would you like to be remembered? I don't know if you remember seeing this. He seemed uncomfortable with the question at the idea of his life and legacy being remembered by people. And in fact, he really didn't even answer her question. Something else was in his mind, apparently, and instead he said, I would like to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But I don't think I will, he said as he turned his head down and looked away. And the interview ended. What comes to your mind when you hear Billy Graham say, I'd like to hear good and well done, but I don't think I will? You know what I say? I'm dead. I said, Billy Graham is not going to hear that? Oh, what happens to the rest of us? But in retrospect, you know what? He will not hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, because thousands came to Christ. Because he was gifted for that. And no one ever comes to Christ because of the gifting of the pastor or preacher, but by the work of the Spirit, that God will be glorified. And what Billy Graham was saying was, you know what? I've not always been faithful. I hope I hear that. It makes me want to say, wow, Lord, help me be faithful with what I have for you. All you have to do is give an account for what you have, not what the next person has. What are you doing with what you have? Let's give our all to him. Let's stand together. It's my responsibility to tell you as members of Calvary that one of our former members is with Christ today. Many of you know George Gombas, lost his struggle with cancer yesterday morning and went home to be with the Lord. I ask you to pray for Michelle and her family. The funeral will be Thursday at the Rock Church in Castle Rock. George was a man of God. Loved God, man of prayer, man of faith, battled with cancer, lost an arm, gave his life for Christ. Seems like a well done. It shapes our mind to think our time is short, let's give our all for him. Grab hands with somebody next to you and let's pray together. Father, I pray today that you will hear us say to you, we give you our life, we give you our body, we give you our wealth. We give you our gifting. We give you all of ourselves. We give you our future, what is known to us and what is unknown. And we just say, God, to you be glory in our life. It is our desire that now unto you who are able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we could ask or think, to you be the glory in our life and in your church now and forevermore, we pray together. And all God's people said, amen. Yes.